Well, we are going to have some fun. At least when I read the Bible and get to teach on the Bible, it's fun to me. All right. But we're going to look at a subject for a number of weeks. I don't know how far we'll go, but the title is going to be Anointed. Anointed. Now, this little graphic, we tried to actually make this like a biblical graphic with Harry the awesome guy who does these. So the anointing that we're going to see is on us. So this is something from God. So you see the light from heaven, all right? So the anointing doesn't come, you know, follow the power within you. You don't have a lot of power. You don't have much power, but God does. And so he anoints people for purposes, and those purposes bring about his kingdom business on the earth. So that's why we put a workman's hard hat on him, all right? So whether you're older or younger than him or you're a lady, the purpose of this series is going to be to understand how you and I carry God's anointing, and we work with it and we allow it to influence our life to bring about his good purposes on the earth. Amen? So tell your neighbor you're anointed. All right. Now, before we get started, what we want to realize that, so when we hear that word, probably we have different ideas or different pictures. So when I was a young person, I would have thought that would have been at a certain time, certain services in the church I went to. The priest had a small little contraption of oil, and he would make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Okay? Anointing oil. Well, that's actually a biblical concept. All right? You may have gone to a service where maybe someone was ordained. I've seen this a few times, where it's not the sign of the cross on your forehead. It's a whole liter of oil on your head. Okay? Have you ever seen that? Okay, so is that, quote, the anointing or anointed? Okay? Sometimes if you've been a charismatic or Pentecostal long enough, you'll go to a service, you'll hear a sermon or a song, and somebody will say, that was anointed. That was anointed. And so does that just mean that the preacher was yelling? Okay? Or that during worship you cried? Okay? The older I get, the more I cry. I don't know what's with that. Anyway, so is that the anointing, or is it a feeling? Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's a biblical idea. Okay, and it started in the Old Testament, and we're going to see today. We're going to kind of go back to the beginning, and we're going to see where was this introduced, and then what does that mean for us today? Okay, because the cool thing about the Old Testament is there are many, many things in the Old Testament that are symbols of the real that you and I walk in. Okay, so there were things, you could say, signposts to Jesus, to our new covenant. Okay, and so what that means is that some of that, it means that we don't necessarily duplicate the practice, but we do understand the principle behind it. And then we walk in it in our new and better covenant. All right. So anointed, anointing. So it is a concept that's both in the Old Testament and New Testament. So the concept is that there would be oil, and it wasn't cooking oil. It was fragrant oil. All right. So it was oil that came from different sources that would be pressed, and it would have a fragrance to it. So it wasn't just perfume, but it was supposed to smell nice. Okay. So a fragrant oil that would be used in ceremonies, and this oil would go on things and people in the Old Testament. So there were objects that got anointed, and there were people that got anointed. All right. And so there was oil involved, but sometimes there was also the smearing of the oil. So it wasn't just to dump it, but it was to kind of place it and to maybe even like the idea that it's getting on you and in you. Okay. So if this was a quiz show, do you know who was the first person or thing to be anointed? Okay. Well, you don't have to guess. I'll just tell you here, okay? Genesis 28. So the first anointing was actually an object. But it's important to see why, because this gives us an indication of an aspect of God's anointing on earth. All right. So this is Jacob. All right. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. If you weren't here last year, I know sometimes we have new folks that come in January. It was part of your New Year's resolution. This year I need to go to church. All right. We are so glad that you're here. Could I encourage you, keep that resolution in June and July when it's cold outside. All right. So you've started well. That's awesome. But I would encourage you, keep it going. All right. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we looked at them last year when we looked at living generationally, that what God wants to begin on the earth, he always wants to continue generationally. It cannot stop with you. I mentioned this last week, but when PH, a.k.a. Banakulu Noah and Bashikulu Noah, I really think I need new business cards. I really like this title. Okay. And I know, Pastor Walker, I thought you're not really into titles. This one, I think I am. when we were with our families, and so we are the grandparents, and the grandparents on Hannah's side, our daughter-in-law, and we prayed over Noah. And all the grandparents were kneeling, and we were speaking the Bible, and we were praying, realizing that we were not the ones that came to faith in our family. It was actually our parents. And so here's this little tiny kid who's now going to be a fourth generation believer in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? All right. He's bigger than that. Okay. So yeah, he's not that big. He's really long. Okay. So... Yeah, there you go. About like that. Okay. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here's Jacob. And Jacob is having an encounter with Yahweh. Okay, so God made a promise to Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. And through your family, all the families of the earth, all the nations will be blessed through you. That's Jesus the Messiah coming through the lineage of Abraham. Okay. So Genesis 18, verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. So here is God speaking a promise to Jacob that he had spoke to his grandfather, that he'd spoke to his father. You and also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not a new promise. This is repetition. Okay. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Note that. He realized God is here. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Okay, a.k.a. Bethel. Okay. And this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head. And he set it up as a pillar. So Jacob had fallen asleep and he used a rock as a pillow. Wow, I don't think I could do that. He did. All right. He had put his head on it, set, and he made it a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Everybody say, poured oil. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, that I will come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. This and this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Okay, so we're not going to take a side journey on tithing, but this is interesting that both his grandfather and him, when they encountered God, that was their response. Okay, not because they wanted to somehow escape a curse, all right, but just to honor the Lord. Okay, so God had come down. This was, you could say, where heaven had met earth. Okay, so especially in the Old Testament, the concept was the earth is where you and I do our stuff. Okay, and there were no airplanes, there were no rocket ships, so the earth was our space. The heavens belonged to God. Okay, and you see a lot of that in the Psalms about God's space is the heavens. And then the sea was nasty. All right, it had monsters and things that eat you and stuff. All right. So here on the earth, we do our work and we live and we come from the dust of the earth. And when we pass away, our body goes back to the dust of the earth. But there are these times where heaven comes down to the earth. God and man meet. Okay, so we see that in the Garden of Eden. Jacob saw it as this place, and he said, wow, this place needs to be consecrated. So I'm going to put oil on it and anoint it, and now this is going to be special. Okay, so it became a special location. Now, the next location or place that got anointed was the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. So God commissioned a building project. Children of Israel have left Egypt, and they're going to the promised land, but they're not there yet. But God has one request, and he says, build this place, and there's one purpose, so that I may dwell with my people. The dwelling place of God. Very kind of similar to this house of God, Bethel thing, this rock thing, right? So God says, build me a tabernacle. And when they built the tabernacle, they were going to smear oil on it. Meaning, it's different than your house. It's different where you live. This is going to be God's special place, so it's going to be anointed. So listen to the commission where God gave Moses this instruction. Exodus 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, myrrh, cinnamon, all the, these things, and make this, and a hin of olive oil, 25, and you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an anointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer, and it shall be an anointing oil, and you shall anoint. Now that's a Hebrew word, mashak, all right? I promise you I'm saying it wrong. But anyway, it's close to that. All right, mishak. And so to smear, so there's oil, but the oil is not just the thing. It's to apply it, all right, to mishak. All right, so something, there's an activity to mishak, and then there is the one that's been mishaked, okay? And so that's kind of the series where we're saying you are mishaked, anointed, okay? By God. Okay, so you shall anoint the tabernacle of the meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand, its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, with all of its utensils, the laver and its base, you shall consecrate them. So there's going to be a lot of oily stuff, isn't there? This oil, this fragrant smell, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. That is not common, different, set apart for the Lord. Okay, so anointing, consecration, it has this similar concept. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons with what? With the same stuff. So now, for the first time, not only are things going to get anointed, but now people are going to get anointed. Okay? So you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. Okay, so here's one, and this is the first time we see it, but it is going to be all throughout the Bible. All right, is that when the anointing takes place on a person, it is for a verb. It always has to do with action. Okay, so there is never anyone who gets anointed so they can, that kind of felt nice. All right. Anyway, I won't go there. But anyway, if you put oil on your head or somebody puts oil on your back and you go, oh, that felt so good. That's not what God's anointing is for. This oil was to minister. You see that? All right. So every time this happens in the Bible for a person, there's an action, there's an activity that they are supposed to do. Now, who gives them the assignment? God does. Who defines their activities? God does. Who gets the credit for their activities? God does. All right, so it's for God, by God, under God, so that what God wants to be done on the earth is happening through his anointed, through his person. And here's the good news. I'll just give you a flash forward to the New Testament. Joel spoke of it. Peter said it happened. That God says, in the last days, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. That kind of sounds like oil. Pour out. Exactly. It's the same thing. Okay. I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All right. So if you got flesh, you get to be anointed. All right. Now, in what way or for what reason? Well, it's all under God, isn't it? It is for him, by him, and it'll take a few weeks to actually kind of get down to that, all right? So I've got a job for Aaron and his sons to do under me, but I need them to be anointed. I need them to be consecrated. I need for this to happen to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. All right, so this was used during sacred ordained ceremonies that God decided. Okay? So again, you just didn't go get to use this however you pleased. Okay? When I was a kid, growing up in the charismatic movement, you could always know if you were in a Pentecostal's house because above every doorway there was oil. Little sign of the cross. How many of you grew up in a home where your house got smeared? Okay, by grandma or mom or somebody did it. All right. All right. Now, again, I don't the concept of saying, hey, God, we want you to be blessed in this home. God, we want you to be glorified in this home is really valid. But what you're going to see in the New Testament is God doesn't anoint bricks anymore. Okay, you can pour oil on your car, but it's just going to get oily. Okay, but we do want to understand this because in the Old Testament, this was sacred, wasn't it? All right, so don't just do this for fun. Don't just do this how you please, but do this according to God's design and purpose. In this instance, that they may minister to me as priests. Now, so in this first instance, there was an office that God ordained for Aaron and his sons to stand in. And again, You couldn't do that. It was not democratically elected position. And in the Old Testament, people who tried to do it, they got killed by God if they weren't ordained to do that. So there was an office, and then there was an anointing for the office. Okay? Do you see that? All right. So then, if we keep reading from here, especially in Leviticus, those priests then got these anointed, consecrated, oily priests, then got a lot of things to do and not to do. Of now that God has set them up to do this, now God says, I want you to do it my way. So, sounds good, right? Now, these priests in the Old Testament, they became mediators. Mediators. Meaning that, especially in the tabernacle and the temple, there were certain things that you and I, just Joe, Jewish believer, follower of Yahweh, we could get to a certain point in the tabernacle or temple. But then there was a whole lot of stuff that the priest had to do for us. Okay, so we would give them the offering and they would burn it before the Lord. The high priest would go, the one day of atonement would go into the holy place on behalf of the people. Okay, so the priest became the mediator. So if you needed to get to God, you would get to the temple, you would get to where God set up worship, and then there would be these men ordained by God to work on behalf of you. Okay, and again, you couldn't do it yourself. Now, fast forward to today. Today, the Bible says there is another mediator. There's one. One mediator between God and man. He's a man. The man, Christ Jesus. When PH and I were visiting our kids and our grandson, we were headed to the airport. And we got into a Yango, Uber, those guys. And very, very nice guy. And he had lived in the States for 4 years. Brought his family from another country, and we were chatting and everything, and you could tell he was very interested in the Lord. He came from a country where Christianity is banned and persecuted. So, it was just fun talking to him and hearing his heart for the Lord. And he was reading the Bible, and he was asking questions. And then he asked us what we do, and we explained. He says, are you priests? Are you priests? And I understood for his context that, you know, the person up front with the robes is a priest. And I said, well, you know, they call us pastors. It's similar, but different. Similar, but different. Okay, because in some situations, a priest means they're still today the middleman. Okay, so there's certain graces that you can only get from the priest. And if you can't get to the priest or have access to the priest or you've been kicked out from the priest, you're in big trouble because you can't get grace. All right? That is not what the New Testament teaches. Okay? The New Testament teaches that a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, apostle, these ministers who are office-bearing people, they are working along with God to help prepare you for ministry, to help you grow in the Lord. But I don't keep the grace from you. Okay, so you don't come to me and say, Pastor, forgive me for I have sinned. I don't absolve you. Do you follow that? Okay, confess your sins to your high priest, Jesus. He will absolve you. He forgives. He pours out. Amen. All right, so these guys are the middlemen. But here's the problem with the Old Testament priests that the book of Hebrews says. Some of them were really good guys, but they kept dying because they were mortal. They were humans. They had to keep being replaced. All right. So now you and I have a high priest, Jesus, who is a forever high priest. All right. There's no Jesus number two. All right. There is no handover ceremony of Jesus. You know, now that we're going to get the next Jesus. No. He's alive and he's alive forever. He sits on the right hand of the throne of God. He ever makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. His blood speaks on our behalf, saying that we are clean, that we are righteous, that we are the children of God. Amen. Now, okay, so the priests were smeared, anointed, set apart. Then there was a second group of people in the Old Testament where we see these ceremonies. The king, all right? So the king was also doing something on God's behalf, all right? So first thing to get anointed, a rock. First person to get anointed, Aaron. First king to be anointed, anybody? Saul, exactly, Saul. So let's go back to the anointing of Saul, the first king of Israel, in 1 Samuel 9. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel. Samuel is a prophet. Okay, so he is hearing from God. God is speaking. And he had this deep, abiding relationship with God. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him. Anoint him. What is that word? Meshach. Okay, meaning there's got to be some oil. It's got to be the right kind of stuff. Anoint him to be the leader of my people, Israel. He will rescue. What is rescue? It's a verb. It's an action word. All right? So anointing and what? Action. But it's action that God wants to be done from him, by him, for him. Okay? So God, if you remember the word rescue in the Bible, this is not the first time we see it. Who was the first rescuer of Israel? God himself. God himself rescued them from Egypt, from those that were oppressing them. And he brought them out. And actually, it was how God wanted it to remain. But the people wanted a king and a... Remember 1 Kings last year? That didn't go so well, did it? Lots of bad kings, okay? But God said, I will do this, all right? He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry. So very, very similar. So God hears that his people are in trouble. What's the answer? An anointed person. A person under God who's going to do something special. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. So Meshach him. All right. So again, by God, for God. And the one who gets anointed is the anointed one. You remember David in the cave when his guys said, just kill Saul. And he said, I'm not going to strike down God's anointed. This is when it happened, right here. How did David know? He knew that God anointed him, and for God to remove him is God's choice. It's not going to be my sword that does this. Amen. Okay. Just a thought that when David said, I won't harm God's anointed, that was talking about murder, right? Okay. For you to watch something on Christian TV and turn to your spouse and say, that's not correct. That's not biblical. Okay. That's not coming against God's anointed. Hello, hello, hello. It just means I'm going to turn the channel to something more edifying like football. Or a cooking show, something that's not going to harm me, rather than listening to this silly, silly stuff. Okay, all right. 1 Samuel 10:1. Samuel took a flask of oil and he poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. So by God, for God, God's people. All right. So the king was not a priest, but the king was also functioning for God. And especially in Saul and David's time, it was to be a protector. All right. There were enemies and there were hostile people that were trying to harm God's people. All right. So they would work with God to keep God's people safe. Okay? Now, at the time when he got anointed with the oil, if you jump down in chapter 10, verse 6, this is Samuel talking to Saul. He said, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, with some prophets. You will be changed into a different person. Why? The Spirit, look at this. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully, everybody say, upon. If you underline your Bible, please circle that word, upon, upon. What is upon you? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. And from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're going to see that the Spirit of the Lord upon people causes them to do things that they can't do on their own. You're going to prophesy. You're going to be changed into a different person. The Spirit of the Lord came, before this happened, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he slew Philistines. How? With a bone from a donkey. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. All right? There were guys in when they were building the tabernacle that they were working with wood, they were working with metal, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon them. Okay? Now, does the Spirit of the Lord still come upon people in our day? Everybody. The goal of God and the hope of God and the desire of God is it's not just on these select people, okay? But it is on his whole body, upon them to do, okay? Now, so the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Now, a new supernatural ministry began through Saul's life. He was not only just anointed with oil, but the Spirit of the Lord rested on him. But here's the thing. If you read the life of Saul, there was pride. There was disobedience. That went worse into witchcraft. Okay? Murder in his heart. Okay? The anointing will not give you character. Do you follow me? Okay. And that's why, especially among our Pentecostal world that we're a part of, is that sadly we see anointed people. Really, they are anointed. And then they do something crazy, sinful. Ah, how could that happen? Because the anointing is to cause you to do something for other people. Character is what you build every day, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit upon you, that is for other people. The Holy Spirit inside of you, okay, in you, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit in you is for your benefit. Okay, now, what God wants is for consecrated people who are infused with the Holy Spirit on the inside, living out the character of Jesus, that they become anointed. So that's why in the Bible it says, don't lay hands on people suddenly. Right? So somebody has been a nightclub singer for 20 years, they get saved, and now we want them up front. They've got talent, they do, but they don't have character yet. They're born again, but they're still worldly in their thinking. Amen. Okay. Lots that we could say about that. So Saul anointed, Holy Spirit upon him. Now, God rejects him just a few chapters later because of his sin, his compromise. And so there's going to be a new king. 1 Samuel 16:1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. So I want you to go. There's going to be one of his sons is going to be a king. And obviously he didn't know which one. He saw all the older guys and no. And then he's thinking, wait a second. The Lord said, one of your sons is supposed to be anointed. Do you have any more sons? David. Yeah, I mean, he's young. He's like watching a sheep. You know, his brother said a few sheep, right? We'll bring David. Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. God's chosen one. Okay. 1 Samuel 16:12. So he brought him in, David. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. So both with Saul and David, not just anybody got anointed, did they? They were chosen by God. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So at the time of his... You can go to Ramah too, but to different Ramah. Okay. Actually, I think unless you really hurry up, orientation starts tomorrow. I don't know if you can get in or not. So anointed, set apart, right? Oil, but something more than just being greasy happened. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Why? Because he now has a job to do. There's a function that God has for him. Okay? And David's relationship with the Spirit of God is remarkable and amazing for someone in the Old Testament. Okay, so Spirit of the Lord came upon him and God used him for his purpose. Did David have some character problems? Sadly, he did. Okay. So one of the lessons of the Old Testament is that we need a priest better than Aaron. We need a prophet better than Moses. We need a king better than David. All these folks were anointed. These were all chosen by God, but the Bible makes it clear, they had some bad days. There were some foolish things that they did. If all these functions are going to happen, we need not just an anointed one, we need the anointed one. So in the Old Testament, there came a term called the Messiah. Messiah, Meshach, same thing. All right. So not just one of the anointed, but the anointed one, the king, the prophet, the priest, that's going to be in one person. All right. Now, when you look at the time of Jesus, many of the Jewish people were not looking for what the Old Testament described as this person who's going to set us free from our sins and liberate our soul. They were looking for a revolutionary. They were looking for someone to overthrow the Romans. Did Jesus overthrow the Romans? No. He saved Romans. He liberated Romans, didn't he? Okay. So, this Messiah, this the anointed one would come, the one who is meshacked, okay, by God to be the one to be anointed. All right. So, Matthew 16. We'll try to wrap this up here. Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, anointed, right? Elijah, very anointed. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, anointed, anointed. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Meshach. You are the one who has been anointed. And actually used kind of some Hebrew word, and it brought into here, all right, the Son of the Living God. You are the anointed one. Okay. So Jesus, the Christ. So Jesus now in the New Testament, very, very often, he's referred to as Jesus Christ. Okay. And sometimes, because of our day and age, we just think Christ is his last name, his surname. Okay. And if he was, you know, if Jesus was living here, he'd be, you know, Jesus Piri or Jesus Malenga or whatever, you know. No. That wasn't his surname. It wasn't a family name. It was a functional title. Okay. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Anointed One. Okay. The one that would fulfill all that the prophets had foretold, anointed to do certain things. Now, Peter, the very same Peter, let me keep reading here. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Meaning, you got it right. I am the Meshacht. I am the one who has been anointed, the one that is spoken of that will be the singular anointed one. And he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one he was Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Anointed One. Acts 10:38, when Peter was giving a defense of his ministry, and he was talking about, hey, I was an eyewitness of Jesus. Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed. So this would be God the Father. How God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth, all right? We talked about this in December, right? So God-man, second person of the Trinity in a human form, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. People who don't believe in the Trinity, I don't know what they do with this verse. Okay, so don't argue with your friends. There are Pentecostal denominations that, you know, they would say how Jesus anointed Jesus with Jesus. because they only believe there's one, you know, one person. No, God anointed, meshacht, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Keep it up, please. Doing good, healing all. Doing, what's that? It's a verb, isn't it? It's an action word. Doing, and not just doing anything, but doing good and healing, fixing, reversing. So the anointing was on Jesus for a function during his earthly existence. Now, we don't have time. We'll pick this up next week. But Jesus, when he stood after he had been anointed, and we'll see when he was, he stood up before in the temple, turned to Isaiah 61, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Who? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. Anointed with what? The Holy Ghost and power. Was there oil poured on Jesus' head? No. Something better than oil. Something better than oil. The real deal. The Holy Ghost came upon Jesus of Nazareth, and he went about doing good. Jesus stood before the people, and he read Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to set the captives free, to heal those who are brokenhearted, to give liberty to those who are oppressed, to give sight to the blind." All of it functional because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he knew it. And Peter, who in a sense was the first, one of the first people to recognize this is the Anointed One. This is the Christ. All right. He told them, he said, "Oh, yeah. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost." All right. How many of you realize it wasn't until Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him? That's when his miracle ministry began. All right. He was a carpenter, apprenticing with his stepfather. I don't think Jesus used miracles to, you know, if he was having a hard time with a piece of wood, he just went, you know. No. He didn't. All right. He just used a saw and sand, whatever we use, tools were available to him. Okay. But now that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, he's anointed. He's meshacht. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. The state of the world that we live in and that we see is not the will of God. It is not the plan of God. When Jesus got to the earth, there were multiple people who were oppressed. The man who would cut himself, so demonized with thousands of demons, no man could bind him. But he came and worshiped Jesus, and the demons were cast out. And Jesus brought him back. And here's what the people noticed. He was in his right mind. He was healed. Good had happened to him. His state before Jesus was not the will of God. And there are places all over the earth, families that need healing. They need anointed people going about doing good, doing good, anointed with the Holy Ghost, that you can stand up in a board meeting. Okay? So, the anointing that was on Jesus of Nazareth, the person, okay, God-man, while he was on the flesh, what he said to his disciples, he said, hey, don't worry. When I leave, it's actually going to be better. Because in order to tap the anointing, you had to get to Jesus, right? But now I'm going to pour, don't try to do this without the anointing of God on your life. When I pour out the Holy Spirit, he will be in you. He'll be with you. He'll be upon your life for works of service. Amen. Amen. And so what we're going to see in the weeks to come is that when God gives you a responsibility, there is anointing. The New Testament a lot of times calls it grace, serving grace, to do it. To do it. I can promise you that when PH and I came to Zambia, we were young, 30-something. I mean, I look at the old pictures, I'm thinking, who let me do that, you know? There was an anointing that came to rest on us, okay? And we had learned some things, sure, but there was an anointing for that function. Husbands, there's an anointing to lead your home. Moms and dads, there's an anointing to parent your children. Amen. We're going to see in the Bible, occupations, things that we would call kind of natural things. There's an anointing to do it. But you have to expect it. You have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to help you. Or you can just do it on your own and you're not going to do as good, nowhere near as good, as you will with the anointing of God resting upon you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We'll just mix this up a little bit today. One of the things that Jesus told his disciples, so people who followed him, people who loved him, obeyed him, he said, I'm giving you a commission to go and reach the whole world. Spread the gospel and raise up disciples. But wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And Acts chapter 2, what we call the day of Pentecost, and thus Pentecostals, all right? And technically, every believer is a Pentecostal because we came on that day. Right, that's where we were formed. But what happened on the day of Pentecost was the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the first thing that happened was they began to speak in other tongues. Remember Saul, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, you're going to prophesy. Okay, there's something about the Spirit of the Lord in speaking. Okay, there's a link there. Now, in the book of Acts, it wasn't just Acts chapter 2, but it was a number of different instances in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was poured out on new believers, sometimes believers who had been believers, like in Ephesus, they began to speak in other tongues. And it was an initial part of the initial outpouring for their good and for their blessing. All right. But what you would see is that these who were now where the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, oh my goodness, they began to do. They began for God to use them in marvelous and amazing ways. Okay, we were commenting when we were with our kids in the States was that when our kids were in our home, my wife, Pastor Haley, regularly operated in the word of knowledge. Okay, supernatural divine insight about things. And sometimes the word of wisdom about things for the future, for our kids. Why? So that parent them supernaturally. Certain things we knew, but things we didn't know. All right? Those gifts stopped now that they're big. Okay? We don't call and prophesy over them because they know the Lord. All right? They can follow the Lord on their own. Okay? But there is the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit is needed for your life. It's needed. It's necessary. Father, we thank you for a good day. We thank you that you're doing a good work. And just like Jesus went about doing good, Father, thank you that you send us with an assignment to do good, to reverse the devil's oppression around us. Father, thank you that we are anointed and we are going to be more and more understanding of how to yield to your anointing and how to walk and work with it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you. We love you so much. You are dismissed.